What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Kenny Fiddler. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, dude. So I guess just to start it off, have you been pretty busy? I know the year's kind of kicking off. We're in February now, finally. And I guess, what have you been up to?
We just did a couple shows. We did Des Moines, Kansas City, and Oklahoma City last weekend. OKC with Josh Malloy is a pretty big one. And yeah, we've had a couple weekends out for the new year, but we're out of South Dakota, so it's kind of we try to slow it down normally in the winter, but yeah, just keep chipping away.
Yeah, man. Josh he's a friend of ours. He's a good guy. Cool. It must be pretty cool to play around with him too.
Yeah. No. Some of our old buddies and bandmates play with Josh now, and we're on the same booking agent, and it's a great fit. He's a super nice guy, and we really appreciate getting to go out and do some of them. So.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. So I guess let's just get started for people who might not know you. I'm curious as to, because you're from South Dakota, or how's that work?
I live in South Dakota now, but okay. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, originally. And my wife's from up here, so that's how we ended up here.
Okay, so and I know you went through the rodeo and everything, right?
Yeah.
No, you're fine. I was wondering when you did get into music, when you first started, I guess, taking it seriously, you know, years ago, what scene were you really into? I'd imagine you'd be traveling around if you were involved with the rodeo and everything, right? Or was there a certain scene that you cut your teeth in, or?
I didn't really, I started, making music just kind of for myself and a lot of those old rodeo songs when I was in college, and I was living in Oklahoma at the time. And I went to school down there, and so like there was a lot of like the Red Dirt thing was kind of blowing up. That was like 2006 to 2010, so that was like heyday, like Ragweed and Reckless Kelly and Jason Bolin and those guys. And I kind of just made songs for myself and kind of half-assed it for a long time, just kind of toying around with it. And then once we moved up here, I'd say probably, went full-time, quit my job the end of 2019, and decided to just really get after it with the band and, touring more and making it the main squeeze.
Yeah, right on, dude. So when did you, I guess, when and how did you really get into songwriting or get the knack for it?
I really got into Chris Ledoux, the whole reason I started riding bareback horses, being kind of from the city, that was like my the portal into the rodeo world. And that music kind of changed my life and got me into rodeo. I guess I always just, up until that point, music was pretty ambient, I guess. And, and it just, for those songs did so much for me, kind of changing paths. Rodeo and stuff. I started writing about it myself, and, just really appreciated the life, and so I just kind of took my time plugging away, just writing whatever I felt, and pretty much writing it and then recording it like with like zero lag time. For as rough and lack of production and everything, the songs are kind of still there,
Yeah, I was checking out the stream numbers, and it's massive, dude. That's crazy.
Oh yeah. I this was never really the plan for me. I've always the longer I've done it, the more I've always appreciated good like songwriting, and just over the years, it's just been something I really have dug into, and I listen to guys like like Tom Russell and some of the always really appreciate it. And and then since it became my job, I've really hammered down on it and tried to really take good care of what I do, and hopefully it shows in what we put out now, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And and you could really tell with your, I went through all your songs today, and you could really tell, you could really tell like the growth and I guess the maturity and evolution through time. And that's always, that's always the most interesting thing for me when I listen to these artists like you. And it's really cool to see that. And I guess like, and it's also funny that you mentioned Ledoux, because that had to have just gone natural with the rodeo life, right? Just Chris Ledoux and that just goes together.
Yeah. And, you know, I really got into, I mean, that music like made me want to live somewhere else and, and chase things that really weren't in the realm, living like close to Baltimore. And then, you know, once I was out in Oklahoma for a while and, you know, got to listening to like the Red Dirt stuff. And then, I had a boot repair shop, in Oklahoma, and, that was when Pandora like first came out, and I feel like I'm really dating myself here, but like, really started getting access to a lot of, introduced to a lot of, bands that I became a massive fan of, you know, like Lucero, Drive By Truckers, really got into the alt country scene and the heavier stuff. And since then I've just always, really crave like the fierceness of that kind of music. And it's like smart songwriting, but also it's rock and roll. And I just appreciate all aspects of it. And it kind of shaped what I do now.
Yeah. And I feel like currently like that there's no better time to be in that sound, you know, having that sound sonically. When you look at like Texas artists and Red Dirt artists, I feel like it's very rock leaning.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And there's just nothing better, feeling wise, like for the live show, to be able to like play shows where you're like sweating your ass off, like definitely getting after it. And it's heavy. I feel like I always write these dark songs, but, I just like the intensity of, of that kind of a thing for a live show, and, really enjoy it now.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we're talking about your songwriting, and feel free to brag here, okay? So how do you make your songwriting, I guess, stand out? Is there certain ways you write? Do you try to capture this certain emotion? Is there like a certain way you write or a certain product that you want to reach every time you write a song?
You know, I don't, I feel like these days it takes me a lot longer to write a song. You know, from early on when I was just putting stuff out, like pretty much whatever would come to me, and not really developing, you know, maybe the lyrics were there, but not developing like, you know, musically enough for those, you know, those old songs. And now I've just been, very critical of what I put out. And, I've always, I feel like lyrically, I've always tried to, stay away from cliche things and real you know, white bread stuff, you know. And really just write things that mean something to me. And and I have and even some of the stuff's weird that I write about. It's there's darker stuff, there's a lot of death stuff, and but it's like heavy hitting things that are, you know, it's real. And I'm really proud of that. That it's not a whole lot of fluff, and not a whole lot of fabrication. You know, most of my songs come from either things that I've experienced or people around me. I've always tried to empathize with others, and I feel like that's a really great place to write songs from. If you don't have something going on or something at the time to really just kind of perk up and watch the people around you and people you care about. And, it doesn't have to be stuff they tell you about, just stuff that you can kind of just sink into their shoes a little bit. And, I think it's an honest place to write from.
Yeah, and there's always going to, like, I feel like there's always an audience for, like, whatever you put out regardless, right? As an artist, I feel like even if, I don't know, like, a songwriter's frame of mind at all, but I'm sure, like, sometimes they might be like, man, I don't know if, like, I don't know who's going to like this. And then it ends up, like, reaching so many people.
Yeah, yeah, that's the best stuff. I mean, I think it's really important to write things for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
First, and it's kind of a perk if someone else digs it, and but you sure sleep good at night if whatever you're writing is stuff that you care about. Versus you might not be raking in the dough. I mean, but you sure sleep good at night knowing that you're writing things that are important and things that mean something to you.
Yeah, for sure. So do you do co-writing at all? Do you do a lot of that?
No, not really. Okay. It's a, you know, there's a couple, you know, with my band, like our guitar player, Casey Sheldon, like he had his own band in Idaho, and he's a songwriter, really good songwriter. And I feel like there's a lot of like bouncing stuff off of each other. Mm-hmm. But there's never really a whole lot of, let's sit down and put this together. A lot of times I might come up have like the lyrics and just a very rudimentary kind of layout of a song, and I'll pitch it to Casey and Tom, our drummer, and we'll like kind of hash it out and really make something more dynamic and cool. And,
yeah.
So that's kind of like the extent of my co-writing, and there's really a few people that that I would co-write with, and they're friends of mine, like Casey or Kellen Smith. Like I would write with those guys, but I don't think it'd be as easy as just kind of trying to knock it out myself, and then bring it to those guys and bounce some ideas around, you know, instead of from scratch, you know.
Yeah, I mean that just seems like that seems like it might be a big step for a songwriter to do, to like,
sure,
if that makes any sense. I mean, it's a fairly intimate thing, right? When you're writing your own from your own, you know, yeah. Self, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's, I think there's a lot of good things that come from mm-hmm. working with other people. But yeah, like when you get to that, like intimate side of it, kind of loses a little bit of soul. The more people that start pitching in on something, it gets watered down a little bit and might lose a little bit of feel, but I don't know the formula either. So, I mean, I'm not big time or anything. That's just how I like to do it. I'm proud of the stuff we end up putting out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see if down the road, if I run out of shit to talk about, I'll probably bounce off my friends a little bit more and maybe do some of that.
For sure. So yesterday I was talking to Mickey Braun from Mickey and the Motor Cars, yeah. And he was talking about how it was kind of an interesting point that I'd never really thought about in the songwriting process. And I'd like your two cents on it. Is I guess the pressure, if you want to call it that, of writing a song like more intimate, I guess, and more storytelling versus one that's like, okay, I want to write one that's, we could play on the radio, like you hit the chorus, you have a hook, you have all that stuff. Does that ever go through your mind at all, or are you just straight pen to paper, write the song? Or
yeah, there isn't a whole lot of kind of weighing out the marketability mm-hmm. of it, you know. And I think there's a little bit more of a kind of reckless side of songwriting where you kind of just shoot more from the hip, and but I guess to maybe put that a different spin on that, if you know, making like something more of like a rock and roll thing mm-hmm. versus like very stripped down,
yeah,
feely kind of songwriter deal. I guess I can see that though too, where you know it's very different. Mm-hmm. Where you're not just going for just the straight cut of the lyrics, and you're depending on the music just as much, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe that's something. I don't know if that was the question. I don't know if I answered that question.
No, that answered. Just like the pressures of like writing a song for like like maybe I use the term radio play, but like for that kind of audience versus like one that you're saying, I'm just going to write what I'm feeling kind of deal. I didn't know if there was like a line in the sand there, or if it like blends together. Or...
Not for me, because I don't really ever have to consider getting played on the radio. I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about the way the industry is now. I mean, for all the faults and that, I mean, a guy like me wouldn't have had an audience 15, 20 years ago, or it'd be very regional. So that's what's kind of wild about what we got now is you can find your people. They're out there somewhere, and you don't have to play, you know, the other side of the game. You can just play it straight how you want to, and it'll find its way, or hopefully it'll make the people that, you know, that it's gonna fit.
Yeah, and today with the we're in the age of streaming, and we got the TikToks and social media and everything. It is like a different world now. Like back then, it was like CDs and everything. You have to go to these shows. Like you kind of have to accidentally discover an artist. You know what I mean? If they're not on the radio. So I guess, have you navigated the waters of like the social media and all that pretty well? Was that hard to kind of dial into, or?
Not great. I'm not very good at it. And that's like, it's what's wild too, is like how quick the technology and stuff changes, where, you know, with the streaming coming on, like I kind of started making songs like right when LimeWire and stuff was around, and then got, you know, right where I was like burning songs onto a CD off my laptop, and then right into the streaming thing, and that's been a huge benefit to me. And then you know, fast forward years later, and we're looking at TikTok and stuff, and I bitch about that, you know, how like I don't like TikTok. And I we've done fine with it, you know. I've never used it as like I've never went about it like I use it to promote shows. It's a great vehicle for us to propel what we're doing now, but not I've never leaned into this is going to be the way. And I feel like maybe that, I don't know how sustainable all that stuff will be. I mean, there's a lot of talented people, and I think it's great when discovery is more accessible, and more people can find new stuff. But also there's a lot of like, kind of like that soul sucking stuff out there where people are trying to figure the algorithm out, or figure out, what the formula is to get that flash in the pan.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's the way it should be. I think if you could just, you know, write music you believe in and then go tour your ass off.
Yeah.
I feel like that's in the perfect world, that's how you become successful. And it might not be a fast thing. It's more of a, you know, our thing's been a slow climb, and that's kind of just what I've done. Just, you know, try to make music I believe in, and then get out and not be afraid to drive and put it on the road.
Yeah, right on. And I want to talk about touring in a minute, but I'm curious because we were talking about like how you have a lot like more of like a rock sound now. Like you've adapted that for sure, and it sounds great. And I was wondering if I find it hard to like, some people like to label things all the time, whether it's genre, subgenre, a certain sound, style, whatever. And I don't think genre lines really matter anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
no, they
you
don't.
Got like Beyonce just won the country album of the year. Like people don't care about genre anymore.
So
I guess if you yourself could describe your genre or your sound, I mean, or style, how would you describe it?
You know, I normally just tell people we're kind of just a country rock and roll thing. It's Western, like heavier Western kind of music. I don't really have a really good time about pinning it down either.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I had to pick where we exist in the, you know, I would say in like the alt country mm-hmm. scene, you know, with those, some of those bands that I was talking about, like it's like Lucero. It's like yeah. one of my favorite bands. Like, how do you pin them down? Like,
you can't
over, I mean, there's punk aspects, country aspects, straight rock and roll. You know, and I feel like, we have some of that stuff going on too, where it's really, you just kind of got to go and find out for yourself. And especially at show, you know, there's so much of our songs that even like the old, rodeo songs that, I put out when I was in college that were just me learning how to play the guitar and just, brutal sounding, production. We've turned them into stuff that we play in the live show, and people are like, wow, I didn't know this was the way that song is. And it's like, yeah, it'd be pretty lame if I played it like I did 10 like years ago. Yeah.
That was my next question.
Not much of a show there.
Yeah. I was wondering if you like just rockified like all your older songs.
Pretty much. Yeah. We just took the time and passed them out with the band, and there's some things that we've like completely like reinvented, and there's other ones that it's just in a full band setup that they're just a little bit louder, mm-hmm. a little bit more dynamic. Yeah, there's stuff that we've back into and just totally scrapped the original project. And you can still feel a little inklings of what it used to be, but for the most part, they like the song. And I like that because, you know, there's a lot of lyrics from some of the old stuff that I'm really proud of. And just in that context, just the acoustic guitar, it's fine. And but I really like when I can kind of reinvent them into something better and make it really cool.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess now that you described kind of your sound and everything, how would you describe your live show? I've not seen you live. I'd imagine from what you've described everything so far, it must be a pretty badass time. So how would you describe it as the person playing on the stage?
I think it's pretty intense. It's mm-hmm. pretty high energy rock and roll show. I mean, I don't, there's not a whole lot of choreography or dancing around going on. Or talking. I'll stumble across my words on the mic, but we just go out there and get after it. And yeah, super proud that with my band now, we'll go out there and do a 2-hour plus show. And I play, I don't know, 25, 26 songs. I play a lot of songs.
Mm-hmm.
We have one of our own shows. And it's not, there aren't any real breaks in it. You know, we just go out there and go to work.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm proud of our live show. I think it's feels really good when people come out after one and are just surprised. Sometimes they're apologetic. They're like, I didn't know it was gonna be like good. It's like, and I'm still not for everybody, but that feels really good when people are like, man, I had no idea it could be like this.
Mm-hmm.
And my guys work hard. My bandmates work hard. We rehearse a lot. Everybody works on stuff on their own, and we're constantly trying to make the live show the best it can be. Because, it's great getting streaming money and stuff, but it's not something that the landscape changes so much. It's like the best you can do in that climate is just to make sure there's something tangible, and the live show is what that is for us right now. We're just make sure this is something that we can take around the street, make money off of, make sure we get people their money work.
Yeah.
And not have to worry as much about whether we're releasing on the right schedule and doing the proper social media promotion. I can't play that shit. I've tried a couple different ways and I can't figure it out. So yeah, just go out and play, and And I feel like there's plenty of bands out there that are just the work they put into the touring aspect. It shows. I mean, they may not have huge streaming numbers. We're lucky to have, you know, decent streaming numbers, decent live show attendance. But yeah, there's bands out there that don't have the numbers, and they're badasses. You know, like you know, the shows are great, and there's longevity in what they're doing. It's not going to go away tomorrow. Streaming. I mean, just like the TikTok thing. It's like that shit was just about gone the other day.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I can't lie and say I wasn't cheering from the sidelines a little bit because
I'm right here with you, man. I'm right there with you. Yeah.
I mean, it's a you don't wish hard times on anybody. You don't want anyone to like lose their way. You also are kind of a little more emboldened about, hey, we're doing the right thing here.
Yep.
There's sustainability in what we're doing. I might not always feel like it. Like, my streaming numbers are down. You know, in your trend, like, they're down. But the live show is better than it's ever been. And our touring numbers are just getting better. So, I feel good about that. And I don't stress about the Spotify stuff as much.
Yeah. Yeah, and that leads into what I was going to talk about next is, and it's kind of like beating a dead horse on this podcast because I say this every interview, but I feel like, at least from my point of view as a fan, like there's no question that like touring and getting out there and selling merch on the road and everything, like that's the bread and butter, right? Like there's no question in that. And I think also that like with an artist's live show, like, I think that's what makes the new fans, but it also keeps them. Like, if I go to a live show, whether I know who the band is or not, like, if it's a great show, I'm going to be looking them up. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I wonder if that's kind of like a common thought process if you're out on the road. Like, this is how we make the fans and keep the fans.
Definitely. That's something I've always, even from the start, I mean, I think I'm a pretty nice person. in general, but I've always like kept that in mind, even like when you're at shows, like trying to, like, the best thing you can do as an artist is give somebody just a little chunk of your time.
Mm-hmm.
And make yourself accessible. I'm sure when guys start getting really big, it's hard to do that, but I don't, you know, I can do it now, and so I'm gonna make sure, like, I really do genuinely appreciate when people come to the shows, and it can be 40, 50 people, or it could be a couple of hundred, like, gonna give them the same thing no matter what. And I'm also gonna take the time to, you know, shake hands and drink a beer with somebody after the show. It goes a long way.
Yeah. It means a lot to those fans.
Yeah. And you don't do it, for the sake of making the fan, but you know that it's really endearing and it means something to them. Mm-hmm. And that those people will be diehard fans like the rest of their life. So I've always, it's never been lost on me to just go out there and hang some too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's great to, when someone, you know, have someone tell you, you know, song means something to them, and it just kind of takes you to the root of why you do it. And, I appreciate that part of the live show, not just the show, but the hang too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, I guess let's talk about, what you got coming up with music or anything. You got anything in the pipe? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we've been trying to, we record off the board every night, and whether it's for homework, we'll play the show and drive somewhere and be listening to the show from the night before.
Oh, nice.
We've been trying to get a live album done. We've had a few pretty close, but I think these next couple shows, if not the past two weekends, we'll have one in the bag. Kind of got to go through them, but just wanted to have like a 2 hour plus live album of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I want to put something like that out, and then do another studio album here. I did a bunch of singles last year with the intent of
wrapping them all into an album. And then just time kind of got away from me, and I feel like we were touring, and I didn't take the time to really get just a few more songs done. But yeah, hopefully, live album, studio album. I kind of had my fill of the singles thing after mm-hmm. last year. We did three of them, and I'm really proud of them, but it's just it feels good to have something, a whole work put together, whether that's the way to do it or not. And also, I mean, just for, you know, be able to have vinyl and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So yeah, we're going to hopefully get that knocked out here in the next few months. And then tour a bunch. I mean, we're pretty busy, pretty lined out here for next couple months. We're doing some shows with Josh, and then a lot just on our own, pretty much all over. And start to branch out east a little bit more. I feel like our main squeeze is like from Idaho to Iowa and straight south to Texas, and we're trying to break out into, you know, Indiana and Ohio a little bit more, and maybe hit the West Coast too sometime. But yeah, we're just always growing. Tour, it feels like we never have this, like, this is the spring tour.
Yeah,
it's just feels constant. Like it's just perpetual. And but we always come home too. I come home every weekend, and my boys are 5 and 7, so yeah, we whether it's Texas or California, we just load up after the show Saturday night and just drive home. So we're always on tour, but it never feels like we're just, you know, stuck out on the road, you know, forever. It's really
good balance.
It feels sustainable that way for us, and I feel like everybody has a home life, and I'm not gonna burn anybody out. And I really, really happy with how we tour. And our booking agent Ted Krause with Wild River Talent, he just has a couple guys on his roster, and we talk. He talks with my tour manager Dan about every day. These guys are always bouncing ideas around for touring, and just really happy with how we with our little ecosystem we got. Feel mm-hmm. like we're it's going good. Really, really, really happy with how the touring's been going. So
yeah, and going back to the live album thing, that's I don't know if it's just me, and like it could be just me, but like I feel like live albums are like getting good again, like from like artist. Like you know, live albums are usually very hit or miss, or they were, but I feel like there's just been a hot streak of them. And I don't know, like I guess the difference between obvious difference between a studio and a live album, of course, but like, do you go into that with any other kind of like goal, I guess, like for a live album? Like, what do you like, this needs to happen on it, anything like that?
Maybe just, I mean, like with me, like I sing really hard. And mm-hmm. so there's a lot of times where I get like, my voice will get, like last weekend, I was sick all last weekend, and it never, and it was a big week. We had some really good shows, and I was super bummed because I was like, man, these are some of the shows that I really hope to grab the audio off of. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was like bad enough to impact it just in my head at the time. I just, know that I could probably be better, but, but yeah, for the most part, I mean, the exciting thing with the live album thing for me is just like all those old songs. I don't want to just, people think I'm out of, you know, new songs to write and just want to start breaking out, you know, full albums of old shit. Yeah. That's just been redone. I mean, here and there we like reinvented one and put it on an album and stuff, and that's fine. But I, you know, it's exciting for me to like have a large audience hear the way the songs are and should, instead of, you know, 21-year-old me in Oklahoma. It's exciting for, and people like that, like some of that, the rough old stuff. But it's exciting for me to be able to have all this exist without going through the process of like, okay, we're this whole album, take another one down. Like,
I'll just probably leave those. People do like them.
Yeah.
But the live album gives me a chance to let people hear what the show's like and hear what my band's like.
Yeah. And I look at it, and maybe I'm just thinking too deep into it, but like it's almost like a time capsule, right? Or like this like point in time of like, this is what we sounded like here. And then if you put more out, you know what I mean? And it's going to be something really cool to look back on, I'd imagine, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think the emotion of the songs is like there's, you know, going for, you know, some sort of perfection in the studio setting or, you know, cleanliness. Like, it's cool to have a dirty rock and roll, like, live show, too. Like, that's really, really neat. And so I think that's what you get with the live album compared to the studio stuff. It's not that it's that different, maybe. I mean, a lot of the parts are the same and stuff, and except you'll get a few of the fuck-ups and a little bit more of the emotion behind it, because it's just a different thing, you know, when you're in front of people. You gotta, not that you're not trying to do that in the studio, but you're just trying to deliver everything in the live setting, whether you got it in you or not. You know? So, I'm pretty excited to get that done.
For sure, man. So, Kenny, thanks for hopping on. This was great. Before we head out, I'd like to, it's still the very early in 2025, so I like to ask this is, do you have any specific goals or specific things you want to accomplish like this year? Like you want to get it done in 2025. I want to reach this. I want to do this, anything like that.
I'd say, like one of our bigger things was just to get in front of new people. We had some really loyal fans. I feel like, you know, for growth, it's getting in front of a new crowd. That's why I really appreciate Josh having the show. I feel like that's where our growth is going. Just getting a chance in front of somebody.
Yeah.
And other than that, just be I'm not really shooting for a superstardom here. I'm really, really proud of just being a working class band and just consistently, you know, selling out those clubs and stuff like that. It sounds like it's kind of a cop out, but like it's important to me that's a solid living for my band. That's kind of been the main goal all along is like do pretty well for myself, all the old stuff. I kind of run my band a little differently than a lot of guys where me and my guys, like we split all of our merch profits.
Okay.
We split the checks, you know? So if it just grows a little bit more in that aspect and we're starting to sell out more of these clubs and stuff on a, you know, regular basis, you know, super happy with that. And I can revisit the goals again and see where I want to go.
Yeah.
Got to do a lot of cool stuff that I never even planned on. So just to sustainability and keep making cool music is kind of the main goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't beat that, man. And I tell you what, it's some good music too at that. It's good. I really enjoyed it. And I'm pissed I didn't discover it sooner, quite frankly. Oh, so
no worries. No, yeah. We're probably better than we were back then anyway. So
absolutely.
So timing's right.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear more of it, man. But before we get out of here again, if you have any plugs, any website you want to plug, any shows, anything like that, floor's yours.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Kenny Fiddler. Really good about keeping my dates up there. KennyFiddler.com. You can just Google me. You should be able to figure out how to spell my name. I'm really good about keeping our dates posted and bands in town, you know, that stuff. Make it to a show and make it worth your time.
Absolutely. So, Kenny, thanks for hopping on again, man. This is great.
Thanks, Sam.
Yep. Good talking to you and everyone. Thanks for listening. You could also find Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Google us, will pop up. So, thanks everyone for listening and we'll see you next time. My boots.
look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Try to make a mess of this self-imposed life.